life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, Yoko watched the movie The Great Adventure of the Flying Whale and the Double World. Meow!
That's the one.
Yeah, and as we're recording
that's
on a week,
I watched.
A weeknight, no Bradley this time for a Yoko Watch podcast.
No. I can't be ganged up on.
This is the third Yoko Watch movie, of which there is two more after this.
Which is the one I like the look of?
You like the look of Forever Friends, the one which is either about to come out or just came out. I guess probably about to come out.
Because that one looked like it was my cup of tea.
Because they release them around Christmas.
Right.
And this was the 2016 one. Shadow Side would have been the 2017 one. So, yeah, it'd be...
Good, good. It feels like a million years ago since... Well, 2016 is a long time ago. I think when you just watched it is...
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, there's fan subs for the Shadow Side movie as well already out, so...
Oh, right.
There's a kind of a little hint of that with some of the blatant product placement towards the end of the... towards the end of the film, and also towards the end of the film, I was like... Okay, if these are the toys, they probably were right to wind up this version of Yo-Kai Watch. If they're so running out of toys, they just go, okay, what can we do? Oh, let's make a sword. Let's make a bazooka. It's like, how does that fit in with the watch thing?
A sword is way cooler than a watch. It is, can you get little medallions to be accessories for the sword? Because once you get the sword, that's it, isn't it?
I think you just put in, like, probably like the bazooka, you just put in the all the medallions you've had before.
In the hilt?
And they'll do different, make different noises.
Oh, that's actually a lot more advanced.
Because that's how the watch works. The watch has got, like, a QR code and also a set of, like, ridges. And depending on what you put in, it will play different things in the watch. But I'm going to guess presumably you can take those discs. I'm pretty sure you can take the discs and put them in all the other things which take the discs, and they'll do different sound effects.
When you say sound, what kind of are we talking? A crappy sound or the sound of the yokai?
Normally there's like some voice sample.
Oh, it's not too bad.
You've heard it. You've seen my yokai watch.
I remember you showing it off. I remember seeing it.
Well, no, but it made noises when you were feeling around in the cardboard box blindfolded.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
That was the giveaway, was that you'd find the button and it would suddenly go Jibanyan, or I can't remember which disc I'd put in, whether it was the Whisper one.
I mean, actually, thousands of people in that room.
There's no need for me to explain it. It's within walking distance. I could play it into the microphone.
Right, let's have one. Or two. Which medallions do you own? I don't know if you can still hear us. Probably can't. You can.
Yeah, I don't know which ones I've got, but I've grabbed one which is nearby. So the one already in here. So let me see if it's working.
Have I got to guess which yokai's in it?
This one's no. He'll tell you.
What's up, my corporeal friend? I am Whisper, at your service.
Did you get that?
I did. That's actually. There's a lot more going on than I expected.
It also makes these noises. Which is the noise from the game and the anime when they're you're searching for a yokai.
Yeah, so too. I'll tell you what, I mean, it is 2018. Maybe I'm basing this tech on when I was a kid, but there was a lot going on there. That's pretty impressive, right. Actually.
It makes some other noises when you're pulling things out and putting things down.
It's funny because...
Yeah, so in that case, he just plays the tribe theme tune and then, like, a voice sample of whatever his name. That's the...
It sounds so loud. Like, I know you're holding it to the mic.
Yeah, I was.
It sounds like it's blown up your room.
apologies to all the listeners who probably... Maybe that's extra editing I've created for myself now.
No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, but it sounded louder than what it is.
So yeah, I'm going to guess that's, when you stick those into the swords and things, I guess they'll do other things. You see the, clearly the bazooka does when we get, when the bazooka. Anyway, what's this film about? It's not just selling toys, though that is a big part of it towards the end. A whale appears over the town and it sings a whale song and it turns everything into live action. And then they find a koala yokai. And they discover that its nose also turns things back and forth into cartoon and live action.
And then, just tugging on its ears. What's its ears do again?
It just tugging on its ears makes it just do the dance, but without it.
Thing.
Yeah, it also makes you do the dance as well, doesn't it?
That's the one. That's the one. And what noise does the whale do? It's like, hoogie!
Something like that, yes. And so the basically the film is them trying to get to the bottom of the mystery of the poor world, as Cater dubs it. and fixing the problem once they discover what it is. It is a combination of live action, as I suggested, traditional animation and CG. So when they go to the live action world, most of the yokai become sort of 3D CG. Cater becomes a real human boy, as do all the rest of the human cast, and there's also a few of the yokai are also human, so Enma and Nurarion are humans, as is the head of Jinmenken.
I knew, yep. Thank goodness.
And let me find out who directed this, because I didn't write that down. I wrote down everything about the live-action actors, but not the actual staff of the cartoon bit. Right. Yokai Watch.
Shigeharu Takahashi.
Is that right?
Though, there's also a separate director for the live action section.
Yeah, that's right.
Takeshi Yokai? Yokai Watch. And there's also Shinji Oshiro that's listed there, but that's pretty interesting. They had different directors. I mean, it makes sense.
Yes. I wonder if they did the live action stuff first because they.
Oh, they must have done.
They must have done.
There's a point where there's fish in a fish tank. And I feel like it would have been impossible to get those live action fish to follow.
That's true. Yes.
Afterward. Because I was thinking that initially, which came first? I mean, it may be a mixture of the two at different times, but that scene especially.
Yeah. They do.
That's live action then.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job of, like, going from one to the other.
Did you? Really good.
And also, like, the big difference I think this film has got to a lot of films which do this is it's not like human... Quite often it's humans are forced into a wacky cartoon world, whereas this, it's wacky cartoons are forced into our world and they find it horrifying and even more bizarre than the cartoon world they live in. They kind of lay that on a bit thick because they with everybody else but Cater, everybody is like a more extreme version of their cartoon selves.
But they aren't aware of it.
No, they aren't aware of it. They point out the joke is that Cater is so average, his personality cannot be made excessive because there's nothing there to be made excessive. which is a mean thing. Well, there's lots of mean things said about him throughout the thing. I'm trying to see if this director has done anything else I recognize. No, not the live action. And the director of the animation part also did the last Yokai Watch movie and the one before that.
I liked the first one, didn't I?
But you did. I think I had two directors on that one, if I remember correctly.
Right,
I did, yeah.
Right. I recall it.
How did you feel about this one?
I went into this and I was thinking, you know what? This is a great premise. A great premise. And I was thinking this is going to be done so well. And I came out of it thinking, at first I thought, it's a great premise, but it wasn't that well executed. Then I thought, maybe the premise isn't that great, the whole live action thing. I think it can easily be wasted. Whereas I feel at the start, they do such a good job. I was laughing. I found certain things funny when Kate is obsessed with the pores of the human body and stuff. I thought that's a nice observation that a cartoon character would make of a human body.
Yes.
And then I just felt it just wasn't enough. gelling it together. And that's why I feel, I don't even know if it was poorly executed or just the premise itself was weak enough to just need more than what they already gave with the whole whale story. They try to chuck in some emotion as well, and it kind of works.
I was going to say, I thought that was going to sucker you in.
It didn't not.
It did a better job of that than it did in the second movie, with the first segment in the second movie.
What was this? Is that the one with the... Oh, God, that was a film, wasn't it? Yeah, that's the one with the fashion designer?
Yeah, no, that's the latest. The first segment is like the kid who's worried that his parents won't want him to be...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I think it's because I think the sad aspect of this is a genuinely sad story that they somehow, in fact, the more I think about it, they do a good job of adding a sentimentality that's like a good message at the end of the day. Like a good feel-good message comes from it.
Yeah, my problem with the movie, I think the premise, the joke of these cartoon characters are in our world and it freaks them out, they're horrified by it, mm-hmm. is a really good premise, and they execute it pretty well until they have to get to the plot.
yeah, then it gets a bit spread thin.
Because it feels like the first half hour is... These are the half hour of gags we came up with. And they come up with some later on. Then the next half hour is kind of them finding out what's exactly happened. And then it kind of does what it did in the second movie, which is, we don't know how to end this film, but let's just have a massive fight. And to be fair, the massive fight has some really good gags in it as well. Same as the massive fight in movie 2. In fact, it may have better gags than the movie 2's did. Because I really like the bit where Robo Nyan's hands his rocket punches get turned into fish. And then later on he's reattached his hands, but they're now fish. And the bit with, Usopion's has got this part work of a tank which is designed to kill boss monsters. But because they're stuck in the real world at that point, he then has to build the tank in real time as opposed to cartoon time. And so every time they're desperately fighting against the bad guy, they have to keep on cutting back, and he's barely started building this tank. Still doing the initial welding. But yes, it's... Yeah, but it's just, I still think that ending is weak in the same way the second movie's ending was weak. But I think overall it's a stronger movie than the second movie.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. But I still didn't enjoy it. I was pretty disappointed. Because I remember when you first told me about the live action thing, I was like, ooh. And then I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, it's trying something new. It's, you know, it's trying to be fresh. And I think it is fresh to a point, but then it's still just that weak yokai watch story that I can't get behind. I really struggle. And the first film did a decent job.
Well, the first film's just the plot of the second video game. Whereas 2 and 3 are entirely original things.
Right. Well, I'm hoping this new one really... Because it looks like it's got something, a bit of substance with the character and the cat. And I mean, it's simple stuff.
Yeah, I suspect you'll like the fifth one more than I will. Because I don't like...
Probably.
I don't like Shadowside all that much. Shadowside is a weird... Shadowside's tone is even wonkier than the originals. In that it wants to be a more serious action cartoon, but it still wants to throw in bits of the old Yokowatch humour, but it's now refocused onto different characters.
So they haven't been able to establish.
Yeah, and Whisper and Jim and Yan are there, but they've got different voices, they've got different character designs, they're not really the comedic forces they were.
Shadowside's the one I saw the poster for, and I was like, oh, this looks badass. And then I just worry that they do the same kind of action that they did in this, where it's kind of.
Yeah, I can't speak for the movie, I'm speaking about the TV series. And the most disappointing thing about this movie is you briefly see my favourite character, from Yo-Kai Watch, and then it doesn't. We don't get like a full version of one of his sketches, which is the it's the tin toy yokai.
Oh right.
I can't remember his name now.
He's got a bit.
He has a bit, but it didn't go anywhere. And I was expecting it as they walked off, it was going to go into his regular bit.
He's an
inventor who died.
Oh.
And then he's come back to protect his family as one of his inventions in the form of this yokai.
Oh, that's cute.
But he keeps on seeing what he thinks is a family member in some sort of bother and tries to protect them by firing a beam at the person he thinks is threatening them. But it always turns out that...
He's killing the good guy.
No. Okay, right. It's even worse than that. Yeah, no, the guy, whoever it is always good. Is always doing something helpful. And he's completely misconstrued it. Then the beam misses that guy anyway and hits somebody who had nothing to do with anything. And then turns that guy into another of these tin toy automatons like he is.
Oh, so they don't even just get a trip to the hospital?
No, they get turned...
It's game over.
Yes, game over. They turn, but then as these segments go along, there's more and more of these tin toy automatons. And none of them can talk to each other, and they all ostracize him. So he keeps on seeing them, like, having fun together, and he tries to join in, and they're like, turn their backs on him and form a little circle.
I thought you were going to say they were all clones of him and they all did the exact same thing, which is kill randoms.
No.
That's even sadder.
And, and also his family, their family are happy that he's dead.
Oh, see, that's... They really, like, chuck out the line with these creations. They're like... They just didn't know when to stop.
And what's best, on top of all this, this is one of the two competition winners for fan design yokai. So some kid just drew a picture of that yokai, send it in. They go, okay, that's one. And then they create this incredibly bleak background for it.
It's a fantastic design.
It is, yes.
It looks really good. I'll give it that.
Yeah, I think it's just one of the... I think it was just thrown in as a cameo to appeal to... the remaining fans of the show at this point.
Is Yo-Kai Watch dead?
Well, no, obviously there's a new movie coming out. This
I know, but...
He's not dead, no, because it's still making millions at the box office. It's just not making the millions that the first movie did, and the games aren't selling the millions that the first games did. It's around about the point of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms game came out.
Is that a mobile game?
No, I think it was another DS one.
Oh.
I think that was the point at which they'd oversaturated the market with Yo-Kai Watch. It's like nobody needed that many, which I think Pokemon had done as well at various points.
Yeah, and I feel like they've obviously cooled their jets a little bit.
Yeah, with product, but I think Sun and Moon has definitely upped the stakes with the anime. Which, of course, is produced by the same company who produced the Yo-Kai Watch anime anyway, so I'm sure OLM don't mind as long as one of them's doing great.
I'm sure they're rubbing their hands. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And also the CG in this is around the time, I think, what's it called? There was like a Rudolph or something. They had like a fully CG movie out around the same time.
Rudolph, and did that get its focus?
Rudolph the Black Cat. The Yo-Kai Watch one did much better than Rudolph the Black Cat.
Oh, right, okay.
But I think they're definitely, because they also did it, and they also did the Snack World as well. I think this had the original Snack World short with it in the cinema.
I really like the CG, you know, in this. I think it just works so well.
Yes,
with the designs of the yokais. I think it's spot on. They couldn't have asked for a better look.
No, they're not overly ambitious. All they've really got to worry about is a shadow. It's not until... not really until the final boss does the CG get pretty ambitious. And that works really well, particularly when he...
It does.
When he becomes like, Whale
Man. Whale Man. Yes. That's what it's called, literally. I mean, I thought it was something from Gantz for a second after... watching Gantz,
CG. Yes, it's pretty much...
It's like ripped body and shiny and...
The fight itself is a bit like Gantz as well. They're doing terribly until they pull out some sort of weapon they hadn't realised they'd got. So
I was actually quite excited to see all the few yokai that I like. I was excited to see them.
Who are the yokai you like, then?
I like the Kappa one.
Jibinyan.
No, the Kappa.
Oh, the Kappa. Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought you said the cat one.
No. I mean, I like Jibinyan, of course. And I like the one with the Jibinyan with the red scarf.
Yes, Fuyunan.
Yeah, I like him. And I like the Kappa. And obviously Jim and Ken. So I was kind of like, although they look exactly how you'd expect.
Yes.
In that style, they're not going to shock you, but it was still nice to see. So it did get thumbs up for that.
Yeah, I think also the focus was more on the CG. I think there's like the one scene right at the start with Whisper and Kato, which is, I think, the guy who does the post-credits animation again. I think they give him one scene every movie, which is super fluid and comedic.
In which bit was that at the start?
It's where they're arguing about UFOs.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes, and he's saying that, oh, you don't know, Whisper doesn't know anything, all he does is look things up on Google.
Yeah. I recall it. And it's all going great. At that point in the film, I was like, this is good, this is going to be a good film, and then, as I say, spread thin. I mean, I couldn't have spread it any thicker with what they're working with, to be honest. I mean, it is what it is. But maybe it's just me and Yokai Watch were very... I don't even think hit or miss. I think we're just quite miss. And then I get the odd scene, which is like, this is all right, you know. And everything else I'm just being...
Yeah, so they find themselves in the live... Let's get into the story. Live-action world. Yeah, we see somebody standing on top of a building surrounded by white sheets drying. Who's that? It was the mysterious character. And then they're like, what's going on here? What's happened to us? Everything's weird. Everything's got a much rougher surface than we're used to. And then they hear Kata's mum coming, and then the film itself counts down, as to say, remind you what the mum looks like in the cartoon.
Which I was pleased. For someone like me especially, I was like, oh, well, I don't know. But you get to see.
Yeah, and it turns out to be, what's her name now? It is Yoko Matsuo, a former bikini model turned former lingerie model turned actress. And
see what you've written down.
I said a little something for daddy, because they do the same for the dad, which is a little something for mummy. Because they do exactly the same countdown with the dad and remind him what he looks like, and then he's just a stone-cold hunk as opposed to what he normally looks like. Yeah, they make a comment about how his Whisper goes, okay, he looks like your mum's had a bit of a makeover. Though the costume is... she looks more like the mum does than the dad looks like the dad does.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because they've made an effort with her hair to look like the mum's hair and given her the glasses and the... the same costume. Then they find Jibinyan, who was at a Nyan KB concert, and he's freaked out. But he still admits they were cute, even as these weird versions of themselves. and then he tries to find his friends. They meet Fumi-chan, who's played by somebody far older than the character's supposed to be.
I wish there'd be more of that, you know. Like, just this dude acting with these kids, pretending to be a kid himself.
Oh, that's Bear later on, yes. Fumi-chan is like the would-be girlfriend character.
Oh, shit, yes. Shit, I'm spoiling it, shit. So, see, the bit that I'm referencing, it was such a poignant...
He's far, far too old to the point where they make a comment on it, yes. And then he falls in love with the poor world version of Fumi.
Yeah, he's strong in love as well. It's
That's because he's a dirty-minded 11-year-old. In
true.
The cartoon, in this.
Did you see the actress is 14?
Yeah, she was 14 in this, yeah.
She looks way older.
Yeah, I think also he's quite short for an 11-year-old.
Oh, right, that could be it then. Yeah.
I think that, also she's standing on the step and he's not standing on, he's standing on the ground, I think, of her house.
True.
They're definitely trying to make it look like she's much more older than he is.
Yeah.
And then when they get to Bear and Kanshi, I believe they've cast a much younger kid as Kanshi. to make Bear look even weirder because he's being played by a 30-year-old man.
uh, Which I think that's the best joke in the film for me. I was like, this is great. Please tell me they return and just steal the show.
No, unfortunately not. That was all they wanted to do. Yeah, and they even comment about how old Cooper looks. I think they like say he looks in his 40s. They're the actors in his 30s. And then Jim and Jan sees his former owner, Amy, follows her home. Meanwhile, the others discover what they will eventually call Koala Nyan, a koala yokai who speaks nonsense.
It's a cute design.
Yes.
I'm a fan of the koala bear.
And so they summon the old lady yokai who forces you to tell the truth. And she attaches herself to Koala Nyan, and he tells the truth, and unfortunately, neither of the Whisper or Kato can understand exactly what he's saying. And she walks off in a huff, as if she's been summoned to and failed in her attempt. And then Fuyun Yan and Yusupion show up after everything turns back again when they accidentally press his nose.
And bear in mind, Amy's been... You see Amy making a concoction.
No, it's not Amy. That is...
Is it not Amy?
No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Amy is Jibanyan's owner. You're thinking of Inaho.
Oh, see, this is why the name... Okay.
Who gets no lines in this film. Either in anime form or live action form. I don't think you even see her in anime form.
No, you don't. And she's the geek, isn't she? She's
yes,
going to be a geek
she's
character.
The super otaku. And the gimmick is with... The reason he's frightened of her, even in this world, because he thinks she's making some sort of biological weapon, but the gag, one of the initial gags with her and Yusupion is, unlike Kata's class, where they get haunted by the yokai and things happen, bad things happen to them in the class because of yokai, in her class, it's the yokai are afraid of her class.
What, the other kids and stuff?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Because I remember remember you telling me about her on a previous episode, and I thought, oh, that's a good character to add to the story with Kata and stuff. But yeah. I've still never seen anything of her doing anything yet, I don't believe. Was she in movie two?
She was in movie two, yeah. She got a segment to herself. They took over Santa's job, didn't they?
Oh, of course. That is such a blur, that film. Such a blur.
And then they turn up to deal with the bad guy at the end.
That's right. Kind of in a similar fashion to this.
And Yusupion shows up in a Formula One racing car, so I'm guessing at the time they had a Formula One racing car toy that they wanted to sell. And Jim and Jan has been shocked to discover that this world's Amy doesn't like, he's giving up on dreams of fashion and prefers dogs to cats.
It's a heartbreaking moment.
And then I think this is around the point where you probably lose it with the film, because they basically flip between worlds hither and thither.
Again and again.
And discover the cause of it is a former ballet dancer from the poor world.
Poor world.
And they chase her around. She's flying around in their world. And they stop her by summoning Coma Mom. And to which they're like, when did you get Coma Mom's medal? Oh, no, Koma-san gave it to me. Which was like, this is all very convenient. Something happened completely off screen from the last movie. And then they position her underneath the ballet dancer who's floating in the sky, and they flip back to the poor world, so she falls out of the sky. And then they attach the old lady yokai again, and then we get the entire reason this is all happening explained in flashback and exposition.
I mean, I was fine with that. I was like, oh, the story's going somewhere. We're getting a little bit of something. So yeah. I was fine with that flashback. Did you feel it was too long?
No, I didn't. It was fine. I don't think it was that long anyway, but it was like a sudden chunk of like massive amount of live action. With none of their regular characters.
Oh, so you were starting to snooze. There's a breath of fresh air for me.
Yes, but the key was she was a ballet dancer. She was doing really, really well. looked like she could take it as a career, but then she was in a traffic accident, and she thought that she'd never be able to dance again, but then right at the end of the... When they go and find the teacher, they discover, no, she recovers. She can recover and she can carry on dancing.
She works hard.
Yes.
But the idea is the teacher is there to support her, and she's got the support of everyone in the class, which she felt wasn't going to be a thing because all people wanted to see her do was dance. So be strong. Do your best.
Yes, but it has consumed her heart and has created a yokai from the negative feelings of a human heart, the most powerful yokai there is. And Fuyunan explains that he's been to see Lord Enmer and Nurihion, and when they're not amazed at their own beauty in the poor world, they end up dancing, but then they give him some equipment so they can fight this yokai.
Which is a cool sword.
And also, Kitsune and Orochi power up to their ultimate forms, and then they're immediately swallowed. Which I thought was
Isn't that the thing where the cartoon powers, as you mentioned, with the one making the tank,
yes,
is far, far weaker in the real world. So
yes, that is it. Yeah.
So I didn't even know who those characters were. Were they in movie?
No, they're in the TV series.
Right. Because they're very Pokemon looking characters to me.
No, Orochi's not that Pokemon. He's straight up a human.
I just see them as like a legendary looking Pokemon.
Kitsune is definitely more along those. Or Kyuubi rather, not Kitsune.
Kyuubi, yeah.
Kyuubi. Kyuubi's thing is when he's first introduced, he's trying to seduce 100 women and he's seduced 99 and then he's trying to seduce Fumi.
What, this yokai is?
Yes. Because he can appear as like a very handsome man to humans.
Oh, right, okay then. I mean, I'm saying okay as if that's more acceptable, but. But I like the design of those two.
Yeah,
they look pretty good.
Yeah, and then which is the gag? They look really cool. Whispers explain how cool they are, and then they immediately get swallowed by the whale, who's now turned into a giant yokai, full of the hatred in a human heart, and then spits out their like little sort of signs that appear when they.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the Jibinyan's trying to do his Paws of Fury, then it switches back to the poor world, so his powers have no ability.
Weak.
Yeah, and then there's like lots of... he falls to the sky, they stretch out Whisper to catch him, and then he misses entirely. But as after he misses entirely, Kama-san feels like, oh, I made a mistake, I better stretch Whisper out some more. That'll fix it. Just nice little visual touches like that, and then then Jibinyan just bounces off him like a trampoline. But otherwise it's just a lot of fighting for the remaining half hour, and a lot of running away, and Kowalinyan goes on the run because he's afraid of water, and it's the same old lady every time, isn't it? He's cleaning the steps in front of multiple different shops.
See, I didn't know if that was a thing which is like a custom in Japan to like scare away ghosts and demons. Like the way she splashes the water, isn't, I know it's meant to be that it's gonna splash on the koala, but is it something else, or is she just cleaning?
I don't know.
I thought it was like kind of ridden the area of like spirit, like splashing the water, like get away kind of thing.
Could be, I don't know.
But she's a sinister one, unintentionally so.
No, it's the same actress in every single time in multiple locations. They think they defeated the whale, but then it comes back as like a humanoid whale, which Kata goes, "Whale Man," and then Whisper is like really annoyed when the little sign comes up explaining that his name is Whale Man. Also, because the villainess also agrees that it's called Konami.
It's Whale Man.
Yes, it is Whale Man. And so it turns out, Robonan F looks at the potion that Usuppion's stolen from Inaho, who's going to feed it to this whale to kill it. And he's like, oh, no, that's not a poison. That's a special power-up potion. Whoever drinks that will become incredibly powerful, but it will taste really, really bitter. And they're all kind of offering to swallow it. And then Robonan F volunteers and everyone's like, okay, you do it. It's like, I'm a robot. I won't be able to taste the bitterness. And then he does taste the bitterness. and then he swallows the other four. Was it Usuppion, Koma-san, Jibunyan, and...
Scarf one.
Yeah, Fuyunan, yes. Then he turns into a giant mecha and turns them into missiles.
Shoots them.
Yes.
And don't they all do the punch thing?
They all do the billion punch fury, yes.
That's it.
And everything is solved by punching.
Good.
They've got rid of the darkness in their heart. the koala was her soft toy, wasn't it? That was where the koala came from. She'd wished
I bet they've got to be selling them.
Yeah.
Out in Japan.
Oh, no, they were going for the world record of the most soft toys hugged in one time during the opening. So I'm pretty sure they were.
Really? What?
They were, yes.
Oh.
As long as the Wikipedia page is not lying to me, that's what they were going for. The other key thing was when she was standing on top of the hospital, she was wishing on... She saw the whale on the shop opposite, and she was like, oh, I wish there was a world where I could dance, which is how she got to the Yokai Watch world. And that's how they noticed the difference was they were like, oh, the whale's in our world, but not in the poor world.
Mm-hmm.
And then they noticed that in the Yokai Watch world, there's not a hospital there. It's the Choco Bar shop. And then the great thing, after they've had this heartfelt goodbye to Konami, who's now feeling better about herself, this whale's gone away. They go back to their world, and then that's just completely in the past to Jibunyan. He just goes, Choco Bars, and rushes straight into the shop. While the other two look like, Jesus Christ, Jibunyan. And it turns out that Kate has smuggled back a photo of the poor world Fumi for him to fawn over.
Yeah, and he's madly in love.
It is.
It's like those creeps with the hentai reversed.
And then Whisper's face turns human.
Yes.
Which I think there's a guy who does that as a bit, so I think that might be that guy.
Oh, that would be a nice little nod to that. But that was good. As was obviously Jim and Ken's face.
Yes, yeah.
Earlier on.
That's the movie.
So you enjoyed it on the whole?
I enjoyed it on the whole, yes. I enjoyed all the movies on the whole. I still think the second one might be my favourite, though. And even that's your least favourite.
I'm just not a fan of that episodic nature for a film. If they'd have been like three OVA episodes, which I guess they are at one point, but as a film, I want a solid story.
Yeah, this is a proper three-act story.
Yeah, it is. So I've got to give it that. I think it's better than number two. Not as good as number one.
Yeah, I think it's better than number two as well. I just think I like number two better. I think number one's better than number two. I just still like number two better. Because it's got really stupid things, like the first story, Kate dies in the very first start of the film.
That's great. Run with that as an idea. I'm sure they'll make something good, but instead...
Yeah, except I don't know. I think they're fine to just do... I think they're just fine to do as much of the idea as they feel and not overstretch it. That's what I like about sketch comedy, you see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get the appeal of it, but it just doesn't do it for me.
I hadn't watched all the credits. I missed all the gags in the credits, by the looks of things.
Gags is a strong word.
It is a strong word, yes.
remotely humorous bits for fans of the series, perhaps.
Yes. But yeah, that's the last one of the original Yo-Kai Watch movies.
When you say original, why do you say?
Well, because there is not another movie with these characters in.
Oh, right. Oh, well, that's...
In this form.
All right.
Except I imagine they probably will do another one because of what Yo-Kai Watch 4 is going to be.
Right.
Which is going to be a time travel story with all the characters from all the different Yo-Kai Watch worlds.
Time travel, I can get behind.
Well, that's obviously... So the second game is the first movie's plot, so there's time travel in that.
Mm-hmm. That's the one with his grandfather?
It is, yes.
See, all that was spot on. I was like, now this is good, this is better than the series. Because you know, I never fell in love with the series, me and Dwayne. Boy, we tried. Boy, we tried.
Whereas I love the series. Even when it started, I think the episodes where it started losing viewers, I think are even better. But I can also understand why they were losing viewers, because it becomes possibly more and more alienating in its plots. So, like that thing about a dead dad who's continually returning perfectly innocent people into robots.
Harsh.
Yeah, but so we've got, Shadow Side is the current series. Was there a Shadow Side? I assume there was a Shadow Side game. So again, that's the other problem. There's so many games, you can't keep up with them.
Are they all released over here, or are they all accessible, or are they just...
Three is out. So Yo-Kai Watch Blasters came out this year. Three should be out early next year.
All DS?
Yeah.
DS is a bloody good console, mind.
Four will be on the Switch, though, so I'll have to buy a Switch then.
Oh. I still have a lot of praise for the DS as a handheld and a console. There's some games that are so well considered for the hardware, it's impressive. Don't know how Yo-Kai Watch does with it, but I'm hopefully doing something good.
I also want to go back and have a look at how many Akihiro Hino stories involve dual worlds. Because I feel like that's a thing he really likes. Because it's in Yo-Kai Watch, isn't it? This movie. It's in Ni no Kuni. That's a dual world story, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes.
I've never played this.
It's in at least one of the Professor Layton games. There may be more. I can't remember. There's one which definitely sticks in my mind as being a dual world situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether Dark Chronicles and those things also had it in. But it definitely feels like a thing he likes.
I think it's a good little thing. I personally quite like it. Especially involve a little bit of time traveling there as well.
Yeah.
Just to spice it up even more.
He even had a game just called Time Travelers.
Sounds perfect.
Which was on the DS, the Vita, and the PSP.
Oh.
A visual novel.
Oh, in fact, I'm sure I saw somebody talking about it. No. There's a channel that I watch on YouTube, and I'm sure he was talking about it.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't look like it's had an English release.
Was it that? Time Travelers, yeah? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
I've put Travelers. I'm sure he was talking about that. Let me just have a look. Because it's called Time Hollow in America or wherever else. I'm sure it is. It's where you're like a dude who can kind of cut a hole in time using the pen. And then do stuff.
No, that's a different game.
Oh, damn it. That's what I saw him talking about. Damn, I was super like, ooh, there. Because I was like, oh, maybe I should get it to try. But, oh well, that's another time-traveling game.
It's another time-traveling visual novel, yes.
Yeah, which sounds like it. I like the idea of using the pen to kind of cut a hole in time and then go through it or interact with whatever's on the other side. You know, I think that's smart use of the stylus.
Okay, anything else to add about this? The thing which you're reminding me most of is the SpongeBob SquarePants movies, particularly the second one, Sponge Out of Water, because that does the same thing of having CG versions of cartoon characters in the real world. Obviously, they go to the real world in the first one as well, but they're still very much... They either do the cartoon or they do the gag, which they do in the TV series of when they leave the water, they become actual props of the types of things they are. It's been a while, but I think they're cartoons. Oh, I think they become cartoons after they get rehydrated. I think that's the situation. Because they're definitely cartoons when they ride on David Hasselhoff.
I don't remember which one I tried watching. But I watched a bit of one after you were like, oh, they're good. They're
both
good.
Amazing. They're both... They're both much better than any of the Yo-Kai Watch movies.
Oh, probably true, but I don't know whether I know I didn't finish... Whichever one I watched, I didn't finish it.
Okay.
But I was a big fan of the show as well. Like, not religiously watching, but
I was going to say,
if it was on.
The movies are the most things like the. Either first, because they're the ones which the creator's involved in after season 3.
Ah, okay.
He's not involved after season 3, except probably it's just producer credit, but he came back to do the first movie. The second one is, yeah, it's got Antonio Banderas as a live-action pirate.
Brilliant.
And he is having the best time of his life in that movie. That's why I love it so, because it's so infectious just seeing how much of a good time he's having. Really having it up. visually also it reminds me of this Yokovitch movie reminded me of that because of the way the CG looks. That's a bit more ambitious in its CG. It's probably got a much bigger budget.
So are you recommending this to non-Yokai Watch fans?
No.
Good. I would have accused you of lying. You did.
No, if you're a Yokai Watch fan, you definitely should watch it. They're now at the Naho stuff in the dub. The dub seems to come in fits and starts. And they've dubbed the first movie. They may have done the second movie as well now.
And where's the dub getting aired or available?
Yes, in America, I think. In the UK anymore. Or at least it's not on when every time I go home to my mum's and I look it up on Sky Plus.
Us Brits don't like that Yokai Watch.
No, that DVD release never came out.
What was meant to be on it? Were they just like a part of the series?
The first season. So like the first 25 episodes, I want to say, up to the first serious episode.
And I presume you'd have picked that up.
I had it on pre-order for well over a year. And I was this is never coming out. Cancel.
That's disappointing. Speaking of DVDs, it's not Yokai Watch, but it's certainly anime. What do you think, honest opinion, of that Cowboy Bebop big edition thing?
Let me have a look at it. All the animes, they're putting it out?
Yeah. Yeah, it's currently at a reduced price of, I think it's $229 instead of, well, I don't know.
$229. No, I don't think it's worth it either.
And I was so excited because when I first knew its content, which is there's like records. No, they're not even records.
CDs.
CDs. If they'd been records, I'd have been more inclined. And I was like, oh, I can deal with CDs. It's fine. It's fine. And then the price came. And I was like, no, I feel like it's £60 to £70 too expensive.
So what you're getting is the entire TV series on Blu-ray.
Which I've got.
Yes. I don't know what the current price is. I probably played a fair amount for it because it came in two sets, didn't it?
Yeah, same. And I mean, I don't think I watched it since, but it's good to know that I have it. It's one of those.
Yeah, I've got too many purchases like that. It's good to know I have it.
$28.99 for...
Yes, currently, yes. And the movie would currently cost you £10 on Blu-ray.
We'll say 40. We'll round up.
Don't currently have it on Blu-ray. Let me quickly add that to my Amazon Christmas list.
Get away. Good film as well.
That's cost you, so £40 so
40
far.
Quid.
40 quid. 40 quid worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Three full soundtrack CDs. I own one of those soundtrack CDs from its original release.
I'd rather own that on record, because I don't think I'm ever going to listen to those CDs. I'll be honest. I love the soundtrack, but I'm never going to actively put that CD somewhere that allow me to listen to it. So I might as well
stick it in your computer and rip it, and then you can listen to it.
But like, I'd rather have a record that sits in a box somewhere and looking. And if anybody asks, I go.
I agree. There's a reason I'd want to have them as records, not CDs. But we shall get to that shortly.
I mean, the CDs don't appear to be cheap, but they could be hiked up listings.
Yeah, they're going to be imports, so I don't know what the current... Let me go to CD Japan. That's probably the best place to see if they're currently...
I'm going to say £15 each. I'm going to be...
Yeah, that seems a little cheap for an import.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. We're doing the hard maths.
See, you're not old enough to remember the import section of a Tower Records or a... HMV, so I spent a lot of money on import CDs. They normally came to about 25 quid. First is on a priced down reissue. So you can get the one for 17.32 off of CD Japan. Let me see what the other one. Soundtrack 2 will cost you 17.32, also a price down reissue.
We'll say 18 each, so 18.18.
And what's the other one they've got? But they've got no disc and blue. Blue price down reissue, 17.32, yes.
Say 18 just to be kind.
What they don't seem to have is vitaminless.
Vitaminless.
But I think that might be like a EP rather than a.
Right. So is that the only three that comes?
Yes. There's also Cowboy Bebop Future Blues, Cowboy Bebop Knocking on Heaven's Door. It looks like there's other CDs which aren't on there. I think for the money the art book is the thing, yes, because that will be an original art book for this, but there's probably containing stuff which is in other art books. And other art books which are better. Because this is a weird square art book which is about a foot by a foot.
Yeah.
So it's a bit bigger than one the size of a DVD case, which is the annoying ones they normally put out.
Should we say 20 quid for that? We'll be kind for that.
That seems rather cheap.
Really? God, yes. I'm living in the... Alright, we'll say 28 quid. Is that too cheap? Is that...
Let me have a look. Books, here we go.
Doing the hard maths and numbers here.
The Sunrise Artworks Cowboy Bebop art book is no longer... none of them are available. So... that is your key.
Priceless.
Yeah.
Well, should I say 35 quid?
Well, this one, the Sunrise Artworks one, was 26 quid when it was available.
Right. I'm going to round it up to 35. Pretend someone on eBay wants to get a bit of a profit from what they paid.
Yeah.
That's only £129 in total.
Yeah, so you'd have money left over to buy a plush Ein.
Which it's a seal. That seals the deal. But the worst thing is, this price of 224, 225 quid on their site, is going to go back up to 300 at some point, potentially.
Yeah.
So it's and I'm so disappointed, because I was keen.
I'm not triple dipping.
No, well,
not for that money.
I've got an original DVD as well.
You know I don't like big collector's box sets of things anyway.
That's true. Unless they've got records in, apparently.
Well, no, I'd like if it was records, because it would mean the art book was bigger. But I think maybe it's like a record-sized box anyway.
It is, because that's the extra thing. Which is
yes, because it's already 12-inch by 12-inch, so the art book wouldn't have been bigger anyway, so...
Oh, it's such a shame, because when I first heard they were doing this, I was like, yes. But, I don't know, disappointing.
Yeah, you can currently pre-order a plush Ein. Release date mid-Feb 2019.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the AmiAmi. It does not look cheap.
How much? Do the numbers.
I can't. 40 quid.
I see, that's the kind of thing I would see and be like, yes.
But it's also the kind of thing where you look at it and you go, that could be any
corgi. That's not 40 quid.
Yes.
Oh, right. Oh, that's a good point.
You could just buy another corgi plush.
And pretend.
Yes.
Shit.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I hate to talk down on Bebop, or on that release, but I feel it's got to be done. Such a shame. Oh, well.
There you go.
Yeah, it just popped in my head because it's been on my mind for a couple of weeks.
Well,
you know, and talking about DVDs, I thought it was a good time to mention.
Yeah, well, none of those Ultimate Editions appeal to me. They're all too expensive, in my opinion.
Speaking of which, it's my OCD come out. I remember lending or borrowing, whichever word you want to use, borrowing someone the first season of my Sopranos box set.
Lending.
I've still not got that back. It's lending. Fuck, usually I say lending. I've never got it back, so I've got a box set of Sopranos that is empty by one series. I'm going to have to buy that separately, Anna.
That must be out on Blu-ray now.
Don't say that. Because, I mean, weirdly, I watched all of Sopranos, then I bought the box set. Never to watch. Just one of those, at least I've got it.
And
62 quid on Blu-ray.
So you think Detective Pikachu will be better than this Yo Can't Watch movie?
I don't know. I've got high. Oh, I don't know. I think I feel like I'm going to be more disappointed with Detective Pikachu because I want it to be good. I'm not a big Pokemon super fan, but I really like Pikachu.
I liked the trailer for Detective Pikachu, and this is the reason why we're doing this podcast. Is because I saw it, I was like, we both had the same thought. It turned out,
we should
do the Yo-Kai Watch one as quickly as possible.
The thing is, though, I'll be honest. I watched the trailer with the sound off, which I know is no way to watch a trailer.
No, you didn't hear Ryan Reynolds' beautiful Pikachu voice.
Well, that's what I'm not keen on. I don't know if I like the idea of him being. I don't like the idea of him. I don't hate him, but I think he's around too much.
He's not, though.
He's popping up everywhere. And Deadpool.
Yeah, but weirdly, it's like that now he's, the roles he's had more success is covering his face up. But,
That's true. I wonder if they reference Detective Pikachu in that new Deadpool thing.
What, the PG-13 cut?
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what they're doing, yes.
Oh, I was under the impression it was just a new, like, film. Like, just boom, out of nowhere.
No, I assume, that's what you're talking about. I know they're doing that.
I saw, like, a Christmas picture alongside, so that makes sense. Once Upon a Deadpool, it's called.
Oh, that might be something. I don't know what that is.
Apparently it's a Deadpool spin-off.
Okay. But no, they're doing a PG-13 cut.
All right, okay. I've still not seen Deadpool 2 yet, so.
No, I haven't finished watching Deadpool 1 either, so.
Oh, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was surprised that I enjoyed it as well, because I don't know, always been a bit iffy on Deadpool. Then I read the comics, and I'm like, he's not too bad, but I don't know, maybe it's just the culture surrounding.
Yeah, I think the culture surrounding the character has very little to do with the comics. At least, I think there's a majority of good Deadpool comics now, particularly after the Jerry Duggan run, which is very
good. That's the one I read a bit of, yeah. So I was like, oh, he's not too bad, this character.
Yeah. Pretty the most recent one, which is just piles on trauma to the character. To a terrible, it's like people think, oh, he's the wacky guy who's cracking wires all the time. Breaking the fourth wall, and it's like, have you read one of his comics? It's just tragedy after tragedy, normally of his own creation. So that's Deadpool taking care of Detective Pikachu. Yeah, look, Sonic the Hedgehog. What about this live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
I don't know. What's this? I've been out to. Is this literally?
There's no trailer for it yet, but
let's have a look. Oh, so who's who?
Let me go to IMDb and I'll tell you. I do believe it is Ben Schwartz as Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, that could.
Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik.
So, what level of is it, like Detective Pikachu live action in terms of its CG half and half, or is it?
It's live action CG, yes.
Oh, weird, weird.
According to IMDb, a cop in the rural town of Green Hills will help Sonic escape from the government who is looking to capture him.
See, I don't like the sounds of it. I feel like with Detective Pikachu, I feel like they're at least trying something, whereas that sounds a bit too... I don't know, it's going to be garbage.
Looks like it may be onto its third set of screenwriters.
Yikes, nobody can save it. And I've not seen a Jim Carrey film in... Don't know if he's any good anymore, but I do want to see that TV show he was in.
Kidding?
Yeah. That's the one. I do want to watch that. Because I've heard that's good.
Well, yeah, the reason you're not seeing him because he's not been in much for a while.
Probably. I mean, the last thing I remember wanting to see and I didn't was Kick-Ass 2. Was it Kick-Ass 2 or Kick-Ass 3?
Kick-Ass 2. 2013.
That's the one. Still no, Jesus, it's that old. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was fond of the first one as well.
He was in Dark Crimes. Never heard of it.
Nope.
The Bad Batch.
Nope.
And Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, did I watch that film? I did, and I enjoyed that, actually.
You're the guy who enjoyed it.
Yeah, honestly, it's not as good as the first one, but it's still funny. some good jokes in it. Some gags.
Did about 10 episodes of kidding.
Yeah, which is meant to be good.
I saw the trailers for it, and then I didn't hear anybody else ever talk about it.
Oh, I've heard good things. And it's got that good scene where it's all in one shot, and like they're rearranging the room, and it's like going through time. It's hard to explain. You'd have to YouTube or something, but a good scene by the looks of things.
Righty-ho, that wraps it up for this week. Don't know what's coming up next week. We're going to talk about it after this show ends.
Exciting.
But if you like the podcast, subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.